Well, you might remember at the start of this series of Sounds Good, we heard something about the making of jingles. We heard from the company Alpha Sound in Manchester, who made the current set of Radio London jingles. They made them, but we don't seem able to play them. I don't know why not.
BBC Radio London.
That's what they sound like. Well, although our jingles, as I say, were made in Manchester, made in this country, most jingle making is done in the United States. For instance, Radio 1 and Radio 2, they get all their jingles made in America. Well, Jonathan Marks has been to the States for Sounds Good and has been talking to some of the people who make jingles for the world.
Jingles started out with commercial jingles long before it started in IDs with I Pen a Toothpaste in the 30s, in the early days of radio. Soap jingles, and then it came along into radio stations where they said, that's memorable, that's what you remember, because radio and advertising, in order to be effective, has to be entertaining, and you have to be able to retain it.
The voice of Bob Blow, Vice President and Director of Production in the Bill Tanner Jingle Company, based in Memphis, Tennessee, the home of one jingle company that produces many of the IDs played by stations all over the world.
Everybody talks about the weather. No one's done a thing about it yet. But we know a fellow.
His voice is nice and mellow. He's the nicest weatherman we've ever met.
That jingle of the 1950s illustrates a theme made for radio, but more in the form of a short song. Station identification jingles, which try to make you remember a station name or call sign, are a separate science in themselves. Here's how one jingle company of the early 70s tried to persuade European radio customers that a little psychology was necessary.
Recall of the melody is essential, but to get identification that says WNBC is most important.
WNBC 66.
Note the new vocal sound. Note the weaving of W into the total logo melody.
What is different about the new WNBC logo?
All logo identification, including dial position and the W, is now built on the three notes of...
It's clever and distinctive.
And it is short.
Each and every starter comes in two forms, a high-energy ending and a medium-energy ending.
What does this do for the sound of the station?
It gives a continuing feel. It really makes the station flow, and with less clutter, slowing and accelerating according to design.
Super, but is there more?
Well, now the audience is promised something at the top of each broadcast hour.
And note the jargon there. But won't you get tired of six notes? After all, the people who write jingles for commercials are constantly having to dream up new tunes.
We have never seen ever a slack in the use of station ID jingles. You're talking about six notes. That's all there are. That's all the notes we have in a six-note jingle. And there are only so many combinations of those notes. As far as I'm getting stale, I don't think they do because... An identification is what you're looking for, and you're looking for something that every time you hear those notes, you think of that radio station, whether or not you're listening for the call letters, just it's in the background, it could be subliminal, but every time you hear those notes in that same configuration, some radio stations today are using exactly the same logo that they were using 20 years ago, and that's what it's all about, is identification.
How did the six-note jingle start in the first place?
Mainly because of the call letters east of the Mississippi is where the, in the United States, where the majority of the radio stations are located, with the W, which is a three-syllable, and then three other letters. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
W-R-N-O, New Orleans.
But can you date a station identification jingle just from its sound? Buddy Scott is Vice President and General Manager of TM Productions in Dallas.
Yeah, I think so. I think that most jingles and most jingle writers have a tendency to follow the period of music. So I think just by listening to the style of the jingle, the arrangement of the horns, the arrangement of the instruments, how much rhythm, what kinds of rhythm, you can get a feel for what era it came out of. The guitar style, the guitars can be a dead giveaway. Guitar styles changed from the 50s to the 60s to the mid-60s to the late 60s with the heavy metal AOR sound. So that's a dead giveaway. The one thing that perhaps hasn't changed as much in the jingle business over the years are the vocal styles. The vocal styles have remained a little more consistent up until perhaps the last year, and then they started to change too.
In what way? Are you using more singers, less singers, or different style of singing?
A different style of singing. Let's talk about the kinds of styles that have been most popular. For a long period of time, a seven-voice group was very popular. One of the members of the group having that big, rumbly, deep bass voice that you hear on so many of the packages. And a seven-voice group that might be stacked two or three times, stacked meaning one set of voices overlaid on the other. But then recently, with the change in the music, we started changing the instrumental styles a little bit. We started more closely copying a record sound. That seemed to be what radio stations wanted. They wanted something that their audience could relate to as being a little more compatible with the music sound the station was playing on the air. B96. The vocalists were a little, not quite as smooth, were a little raw, a little raspy, a little coarse, which is kind of the sound that we hear today in contemporary music. So we've tried to diversify. We can still do the older styles, if that's what a station wants, but we want to be as mainstream as possible and as contemporary as possible to be able to provide the radio station virtually any sound that they need.
So how many singers have you got on staff then, singing your jingles?
We don't have any singers on staff. Everybody we use is freelance. We have three full-time writer producers. We think that's very important. But we probably have a pool of 250 to 300 singers to choose from, depending on what we want a project to sound like.
Other companies like Tanner in Memphis have a different arrangement.
No, we have seven full-time lyric writers on staff and eight full-time arrangers-composers on staff. I have a vocal group that goes to work like I do every day, 8:30 in the morning, and they sing every day till 3:30. Full-time, six-voice vocal group, staff, musicians. All the musicians that we use, they are outside people. They are not staff people.
Face it, the most successful radio station in a given market is usually the most consistent. It's the station that knows how to use the basics of good station identification. And now, Jam has the perfect match.
WFYR Chicago.
Don't let tempo transitions alarm you. The fire creates a blend with double call letter impact.
WFYR. WFYR.
In 1974, Jonathan and Mary Lynn Wolfert started Jonathan and Mary Lynn Creative Productions, otherwise known as JAM, in Dallas. Jonathan explained to me the way station identification packages are put together.
Basically, we offer two different kinds of services. A package can either be custom or syndicated. Everything starts as a custom, and that's where a station, usually in a larger city where they have a bigger budget to work with, will come to us and say, all right, this is what we want. These are the kinds of lyrics we want. In some cases, they'll give it to us and just ask us to make the jingles. In other cases, they'll just give us general information and ask us to compose lyrics and suggest lyrics. In that event, we do everything from scratch. We write the jingles and we bring in the musicians and the singers and do it all. I personally write some of the cuts, not all of them. We have other writers that work with us as well.
New York, New York, you can talk to us. WABC Talk Radio 77.
Let's say we've done a package like that for a station in New York. We will make that package available to stations in other cities. Obviously, no other station in New York can have it. But we'll make that package available in Chicago or Detroit or London or Hong Kong. We've done jingles for Hong Kong, by the way. In that case, it's a syndicated package in which they will listen to the stuff we've done for New York and say, hey, we really like that, and instead of singing WABC New York, we want you to sing WLS Chicago. we use the same music beds. We just get the singers back in and re-sing the cuts. Obviously, that's a little less expensive. You know, a lot more stations use that technique.
Which explains why you could have come across Manx Radio in the Isle of Man, Europe.
Whatever the weather, we'll keep you in tune. Manx Radio, Isle of Man.
Playing a very similar jingle to that being played on a station in the Caribbean.
We're the spirit of the Caribbean. Radio and TV's the big array.
See what I mean? But just how much does it cost?
Just as an example, a package which may have cost $15,000 to do as a custom package may only cost $3,000 in its syndicated form, because the major expenses, which are the writing and the musicians and so forth, have been covered. And really, from that point on, it's just a matter of hiring the singers again and, you know, covering our overhead and studio and so forth.
The time is 6:45, and here is the local news. Good morning. Here's Monday's news from the Samoa Broadcasting Service.
Stations all over the world make use of jingles, and in many cases, because of syndication, it's North America that decides the trends. So, what are they?
Well, there will always be a need for the shotgun type jingles, but we see a trend lately into the longer type songs, which are an image building vehicle for the radio station to use to show their involvement with the community and the people who listen to the radio station. Involving, we just finished a new package, a new country music package, called which we call Portraits, because a portrait is an image, and that's what we were trying to create, an image of what that radio station meant to the community.
North America, the existence of these satellite radio networks has led to a new kind of jingle philosophy out of necessity. A local station somewhere on the Arizona desert, carrying music and news from, say, one of the ABC radio networks, still wants you to remember it's a local station at heart. Special cue tones are thus used on the satellite feed. So when a national program presenter pushes a button in, for example, Los Angeles, hundreds of jingle machines at stations all over the United States start up, each playing a local station identification.
Hit Radio KHTR, St. Louis.
The time configuration is very, very limited. That an ID, everything is in 5-second increments. So we're doing IDs that cut off at exactly 5 seconds. And we're doing it in three different formats for satellite music stations, which we've had a lot of requests to do.
There is a lot more that goes into creating these little songs than anybody would ever imagine. It is a very specialized business. There's really only a handful of companies in the whole world that do this on any great scale. At least in North America, probably 90% of the station jingles you hear are attributed to one of five companies.
Mexico, Mexico.
Radio 1, National Radio.
The weather.